Since the early church, elders and deacons, basically those categories were the, and I'm going to use the word order, the orders, the family tree of leadership, the family trees of leadership by which the early church organized itself. And as a local Christian leader and leaders of house churches and networks of house churches, basically that organization is passed down even for today. So today we're going to talk about elders and deacons and how they relate to the Christian Leaders Alliance, the Christian Leaders Network of Churches. First of all, we do see in the Bible two offices of the church. Deacon, that's is the Latin word minister, and elder, which we know we maybe get the word bishop or overseer from. Church, in the fascinating thing is the book of Philippians, in the introduction to the book of Philippians, we see these two offices are designated. Philippians 1 verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are Philippi, with the bishops, and that's a translation, which is the word elder, episcopate, and the deacons, diaconus, which are the ministers. And what we're going to talk today is how does that organization of elder and deacon, how it applies to the Christian Leaders Network of churches, house churches, etc. Well, we see two offices in the church, and let's first of all look at elder. The elder, overseer, the bishop. Elder is a historic cultural designation that is present in the Old and New Testament. The role of elder is ordinarily an office held by men in the early church and throughout history. Historically, the male elder understanding is grounded in the headship principle of the early family household. Titus 1 verse 6, for instance, an elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. So the first thing I want to say is the role of elder, the office of elder, is probably the most Old Testament Jewish contribution of the culture of that day. So in the Old Testament, the elders at the city gate. Then as the New Testament came, there was still that concept of the elders at the city gate, the ones who are gray-haired but who operate the leadership of a community. And that understanding of elder was the, I would call, the indigenous Jewish way of organizing that culture. And that it was a very much a patriarchal culture, and that the culture was led by the men, the older men of that society. And that was the way in which it was then given to the New Testament understanding of elder. There was something neat about it too, is that it preserved the headship principle. And a lot of people say, you know, that's totally out of the world today. And I like the thought really strongly that the men in the church ought to stand up like never before and take that role, be the buck stoppers. Be people who say, you know what, I care about my family, I care about the church. The role of elder, as time and wisdom develops, the role of elder is something that we receive and that we will support our families. Today, too many men are checked out. Too many men don't care. They're not aspiring to the offices of the church, elder or deacon. At Christian Leaders Institute, you know, we understand there's a major conflict about offices in the church, and we acknowledge that locally, some of those decisions on whether a woman should be an elder, whether they're made locally, men to be elders, how we recommend is that the men ought to be the elders. A local church like yours may see that different from us. But we see it as, you know, men, stand up and take your responsibility. So one office is the office of elder. The other office is the office of deacon. The office of deacon in the New Testament is the New Testament-oriented word for the Latinized word minister. So, okay, diaconus in the Greek, when translated into Latin, is the word minister. Okay, ministry comes out of that word. This includes the men, the seven in Acts, and women such as Phoebe. So it's been the historic understanding that the seven appointed by the apostles were deacons. They were in ministry, the serving, the running errands for the Lord. We see how Stephen preached and was martyred. We see how Phoebe was appointed as a diaconess. The word for deacon is the word diaconess. The office of the deacon includes many roles. You know, I'm just going to put it this way. Deacons are the doers. They're the ones who are, you know, into ministry. They're too busy getting it done to, and often their gift is not the gift of making these various decisions. I feel like right now in the church, if I could just talk about this a little bit, I feel like in a lot of ways the historic development of where elder and deacon has gone today has sort of gone off the track. In many churches, the elders are the power center controllers, and the deacons count money. Many elders in churches in the world today don't have any special training for that office. They're just good guys. Many times they're the givers of the church who support the pastor's salary. If you ask them to go to a leadership training event, they don't go. They're great guys. In some cases, if they believe in women in office as elders, some great gals. But I will tell you in general, many elders in this world right now are not growing. They're not taking seriously their office. In some ways, I wish they would just take the Getting Started class at Christian Leaders Institute. Take the first class, look at the qualifications for elders, take the Christian Basics class, or even their own doctrine. Maybe take the Pastoral Care and Marriage class and not only be appointed as elders, but grow in that. And I think, and I've seen this, like deacons in many churches today, the deacon office is like a zero when it comes to ministry. It is a get the budget all set, or in some places, the deacons run the politics of the church, and the elders are ministering to the church. The connection of elder and deacon to the early church has often been lost today in the whole political structure of the church. At Christian Leaders Institute, we want to get back to a more biblical ministry orientation of elder and deacon. So a deacon is a doer of ministry. In many ways, I feel while you know I am a minister and in my ordination place, the Christian Reformed denomination, I'm an elder and so forth. My heart, though, is truly in being a doer, being a deacon. So, let's focus then on the whole deacon side. And I understand that many people will look at some of this a little differently. And as I look at the early church, and here's something else that I sort of believe. I sort of believe that, you know, when I say sort of, I actually believe this. I actually believe that the early church, everything was to be done, as it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, decently and in order. And how the church is organized around elders and deacons was pretty much organized in the day it was organized that dealt with the needs of its day. I'll give you an example. At the time of the Reformation, elder and deacon in a post-15th century Catholic place was organized in a certain way and called back to themes of the early church. But if we look at how that was organized in Europe in the Reformation, a lot of times that order was not a growth order, it was a maintenance order that, you know, Christendom, you know, Europe was Christian, and the elders and deacons worked together to sort of organize an already existing Christendom. And the way they organized elder and the way they organized deacons counting the money and the elders really controlling the direction of the church and doing home visits and so forth was very much oriented around that day. Today, as I feel, we are much more like an early church world where we're seeing paganism, where we're seeing persecution, where today the themes of how the early church understood the offices is something that is very relevant for today. So the deacon for today is one who is a doer of ministry. So ordained deacons refer to men and women, which is really, I think, the passion of Christian Leaders Institute, is to raise up men or women in ministry. The first is the reference to Phoebe, the diaconess at Romans 16, verse 11. Cautions us that whatever the function of the diaconess in the first century Pauline church, in the early years, any reference to diakonoi as a group, and that's, by the way, the plural Greek word for deacon, as a group must not be understood necessarily to only refer to men. So as we think about deacons, there is definitely an understanding that deacons also included women. I'll give one of the most historic examples of this from an early time in history. Let's say this came from about 110 A.D., shortly after the Apostle Paul had passed away on the island of Patmos. And Pliny the Persecutor was a local magistrate who was connected to the Emperor Trajan, and together they were persecuting Christians throughout the empire. Trajan, the emperor, was persecuting Christians, and Pliny was trying to figure out what to do about some specific issues relative to this persecution. So he writes, and this comes out of a book that I've quoted from, Women Office Bearers in the Early Church, Women Leaders in the Early Church. Soon he received an anonymous accusation containing the names of many Christians. In response, Pliny required the new defendants to pray to the gods and make an offering of incense and wine to the image of the Emperor Trajan. He also required them to anathematize Christ. However, Pliny wished to find out more about the cult practices of the forbidden solidarity. In his celebrated letter to Trajan, Pliny provides the following account of how he did so. And this is really crucial. He said, "I believe it was necessary to find out from two female slaves who are called deacons, ministrae, what was true and to find out by torture." So what we have here is fascinating. We see that early in the church, women were ministers, that is, deacons. They, in this case, two slaves. So you can just picture Pliny writing to Trajan and saying this, okay, so this new Christianity, solidarity, or cult, or whatever you call it, you're right, Trajan, to persecute this group. Because in this group, I found out more information about them. And how did I do this? I found this information out by kidnapping two slaves. And you think that's bad enough, Trajan? This Christianity is mobilizing the slaves of the empire, and they make the slave the leader. But you think that's even all of it. There's more. These two slaves are women. And in the Roman day back then, women had a very low place. And then we see these, the Latin word for diakonos is the word minister. So these two slaves are in ministry, or they're ministers. That's right, Trajan. This is a group that we want to get rid of. Okay, so we see that in the New Testament that women were also included in this. Here's another thing from, this is actually the book I was quoting, Ordained Women in the Early Church. I don't know if I gave that name right, but that's the name of the book by Kevin Madigan and Carolyn Osiek. It is clear that the office of female deacon or deaconess was much more present in the East than in the West. We can probably assume that Phoebe and other unnamed women deacons like her in the first and second century belonged to an office or function that was not distinguished by sex, that is, by their gender. Phoebe's first century office, whatever it was nothing like the later deaconesses. And what they're basically saying is as the Catholic Church developed, even the ending of the word deacon was no longer a masculine ending as we see in Romans 16, verse 1, but it became a feminine ending, and it became that which was deaconess. So deacon and deaconess were two separate words. But in the early church, they were just the one word, the word for minister or ministry. Okay, so we see that deacons included women, and somebody may say, well, what about the passage in 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, where it says, deacon are men and their wives. That's the often translation. But it's interesting, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, that word gune could be wives or it could be women. And the early commentators of the New Testament, such as John Chrysostom, he wrote a homily. This is in the 3rd century. And he says, on 1 Timothy 3:11, likewise, women must be modest, not slanderers, sober, faithful in everything. Some say, John said, some say that he's talking about women in general. But that cannot be. Why would he want to insert in the middle of what he's saying something about women? But rather, he's speaking about those women who hold the rank of deacon. Deacons should be husbands of one wife. This is also appropriate for women deacons, the diakonoi, for it is necessary, good, and right, most especially in the church. The point that John makes here is still disputed in the interpretation of the text from Timothy. See the discussion in the text itself above. Here the commentator is clear which option he's favored. This is according to Kevin Madigan and Carol Osiek. In John's churches in Antioch and Constantinople, female deacons or deaconesses were well known. His application of the one marriage rule to women deacons suggests that in the late 4th century, so this is the 4th century Antioch, not 3rd, like I mentioned before, it's 4th, they were allowed to marry and so did not need to be celibate. This is very important because later in the Catholic Church, in the 5th century and 6th century, more and more women had to be virgins or widows to be deacons. But in John's church, in the 4th century, in the 300s, there were women, and these women could even be married. So as we look about church order, we do see that God uses men, that's not debated, but also women in the role as deacons. Here's a couple more passages from the early church. Here is Theodoret of Cyrus, the commentary on 1 Timothy 3:11. In the same way, women, that is, deacons, are to be serious, not irresponsible talkers, sober, faithful in everything, but what he directed for the men, he did similarly for the women. Just as he told the male deacons to be serious, he said the same for the women. Now, if you look at that passage, there is certainly debate. How I believe firmly that this is referring to women deacons is because when he talks about women, when he talks about men elders, he doesn't just talk about the wives of the elders, how they should be. He just says men elders, and then he talks about, you know, managing their family. Then it starts with deacons, and again, it's the male deacons he's addressing first. And then in this case, he refers to the generic word gune in the Greek for women. And what Paul, in my belief and my interpretation as well, is he's referring to the women who are called to be deacon. So you have the qualifications mentioned to the male deacons, and then women he brings in there. Because there are some gender issues, and especially in the early church, those gender issues were so apparent. So he adds a few more things, a few more encouragements in qualifications for the women also called into ministry. So, you women out there who sense the calling to the ministry, great. Now, is it of the rank or role or order of elder? The safest biblical interpretation is that the role of elder is for men. Now, I will have one exception to that. If there are no men to serve, the work of the Lord is not going to be held hostage if men will not be faithful. There are places in the early church, in certain places, in certain times, where there were men who were the elders. If you read that book that I just mentioned, they mention a few of those examples. But overall, the office of elder, from the earliest time through most of history, that office is an office that men should aspire to, and let the men be men, let the godly men rise up to lead. Having said all that, in God's eyes, men and women equally are called into ministry. And the office of deacon, minister in that sense, is something that women are welcome to participate in. So a woman could start a house church. A woman could lead in ministry in various ways. One of the things that we do at Christian Leaders Institute, we set up an apostolic council so that we have a covering. So Brian DeCook and other elders, I'm on this apostolic council, other male elders give an oversight to the entire network. And I also believe that in a local house church, if a woman was called to start a house church, that you would want to raise up elders. And these elders, hypothetically, would be some men that you notice who have a calling, and they can bring protection, and they can bring oversight, and they have wisdom. And you may still, as a woman, be the doer, the leader, a minister. But you're content with having the gifts and the roles. And maybe someday in your country, you develop a whole apostolic council that oversees house church networks. The men and women work together in a complementary way. Now, having said all that, I also understand that some of you may say, no, we just feel that women can be elder, and you disagree with us on that point. And my attitude is, God bless you. We are just seeking to be biblical. And we understand that these are major controversies, but we are not going to be defeated by these disagreements. There's enough allowance in the local church where you're at, and how we understand it, that together we can reach more people. The fact is women were used by God in the early church as deacon, as ministers. And I could go on and on. I'll just give you a few more. Many tomb inscriptions from the early church. Tomb inscriptions like this. Here lies Maria, the deacon of pious and blessed memory, who, according to the sayings of the apostles, raised children, exercised hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, distributed her bread to the needy. Remember her, Lord, when she enters your kingdom. Or here's another one, a tomb inscription from Mahai Moab in present-day central Jordan. area near Kirak. Here lies Maria, daughter of Valens, deacon, who lived 38 years and died in the year 538. Or here's another one. This is Sophie, the second Phoebe. Cray in 1904 records that the stone was found by workers below the tomb of the prophets on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem on December 8, 1903. In five pieces with the bottom missing, it is now in the Museum of St. Anne's Church, Jerusalem. Probably dates from the 4th century, so in the 300s. The six lines are well preserved. This is what the six line inscription says. Here lies the slave and bride of Christ, Sophia, deacon, the second Phoebe, who slept in peace the 21st of the month of March in the 11th indiction, and then some the Lord God. So, I mean, to me, this is exciting stuff to see the preponderance of women in ministry in the early church. And this is that same inspiration, you know, the Jerusalem church deacon calling oneself slave or servant of Christ or God was common early Christian language. You know, the bridal imagery previously applied to only the church for the consecrated virgins was also beginning in this period. Sophie was a deaconess of the Jerusalem church. You know, the second Phoebe, the most surprising part of the description in her appellation as a second Phoebe as a reference to Romans 16, verse 1 and 2, where Phoebe, bearer of Paul's letter to Rome, is recommended to the recipients as diaconess, the earliest use of the term, which Philippians 1, 1, for an officer of a particular church, prostasis, patron or benefactor, that's back to Romans 16, verse 1. The comparison of Phoebe is probably not only to her diaconate, which was common to many women of that period, but her position as patron and benefactor. So Phoebe was probably a woman who was also possibly Sophia was like Phoebe, a woman of business who is a patron of the early church. So, in conclusion, we have elder and we have deacon. In deacon, men and women are called into ministry. Female deacons in the East have shown that they appeared in every kind of text, funerally, dedictory, as recipients of letters, subjects of letters, guardians of shrines, heroines of ecclesiastical conflicts, monastic superiors and followers, choir leaders, those who took care of others' concerns, those who caused concern to others, and more. They came from nobility and the common population. Some were very much under ecclesiastical authority, others more independent. So, what we see in the early church is ministry applied to that local situation. So in the Christian Leaders Network of Churches, we would see it that way too. Elders and deacons together, serving the Lord. At Christian Leaders Churches, our elders, led by Apostolic Council leader Brian DeCook, lead elder, local elders are encouraged to be men who have the gift of biblical wisdom, holding the qualifications of the office, who walk with God. We recommend that they take leadership training. You know, if you're a woman and you are called into ministry and you're called to start a house church and you see a man that you feel, hey, this person, he could be an elder. He could someday be a bishop. Ask him to enroll at Christian Leaders Institute. And if he says, no, I know all that stuff, that response alone should be a red flag. But if that servant, you take Brian DeCook. Okay, Brian DeCook came to the church I planted with Dr. Dave Fettes in 2003. He came when we started Christian Leaders Institute. He was one of the first to take our classes. He now has an advanced diploma at Christian Leaders Institute. When asked to be considered as an elder, he took it serious and got training. He is a godly man who has started peacefire.net. He has taken this training, and he and his wife, Andrea, together are all in for the kingdom of God. When I think about him being an elder, I say, praise God. Here's a guy who took it very serious. If I were you, a man or a woman, doer of ministry, in ministry, a deacon in our network of house churches, and you planted a house church and you were looking for godly men to be the elders that would provide oversight and encouragement, I would ask them to take Christian Leaders Institute training. And if they don't take it, that would be, to me, a red flag. So, at the Christian Leaders Churches, we have, you know, right now an overseeing deacon, a council board. But as we lay this out now, we're asking you, the Christian Leaders Institute students, who really are being ordained in the deacon order. Deacon, men and women who are called to ministry. These ordained ministers represent the Christian Leaders Churches in various roles. And these roles are minister or deacon church starter, minister or deacon officiant pastor, minister or deacon pastor, or minister deacon apostle. Now, the apostle one we have in there, and that's going to just develop as time goes on, as some of you are going to start networks of house churches. So, here's our organization. Very biblical, very old, ancient elders and deacons. Elders being men called by God. Deacons, men or women called by God. That's how we see it. That's our conviction. We don't want to let anyone feel that they don't have something to do or called to do. But we want to be sensitive to the best practices and the way the Scripture sees some of these distinctions. Like I mentioned before, if some of you see some of this different locally, you know, that's your local context, and we do grasp that. We just want to be as biblical and led by the Spirit on this and raise up revival leaders and have excitement and joy in doing all these things. So here's basically our structure, elders and deacons, and these deacons are ministers. You're a minister, and you're here to plant house churches. I know that God has something wonderful in store for every one of us.